Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
All right, so welcome to another episode of Illinois Family Spotlight. I am your host, David Smith, Illinois Family Action. Today, I am thrilled to be joined by State Representative William Howder, or we call him Bill Howder, right? Yep. Who is also a medical doctor in the Morton area.
Yeah.
There's a tri-county area over there in Peoria, Tazewell, Peoria County, and Woodford, right?
Yep.
Those three
typically,
counties.
Typically, yeah, that's called the tri-county, yep.
Thank you for joining me, taking 15 minutes. I got you at work. I see you in your scrubs.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about you and your background and your family and what got you involved in politics.
Sure. Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Second of all, if you hear an overhead page or if I get up and walk out abruptly, it's something.
Priorities, right? Priorities.
But I got off for a little bit. One of my partners is covering me so I could do this interview. But thank you for having me. My name is Bill Howder. I'm the state rep for the 87th District. The 87th is a lot of Tazewell County. It's all of Logan County. It goes over to Clinton, Illinois, Lincoln, Illinois. Okay. I'm from Morton. I've been practicing a practicing physician for almost 30 years now, but I've been practicing as an anesthesiologist in Peoria. I also do emergency medicine. I got double boarded because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I'm board certified in emergency medicine and anesthesiology, but I mostly practice anesthesiology. I specialize in pediatric and adult cardiac anesthesia. So I was doing that and loving my career, but complaining about this state. And you know the reasons. Just absolutely frustrated with the state, thinking about moving. Finally, my wife said, why don't you contribute and not complain? So I ran for Tazewell County Board. I won that. And then I thought, this is a good spot. It's not a lot of time. I could see how municipal government works. And then COVID hit. And you know what happened there. We saw the authoritarian, reign of the Pritzker administration. We saw how they used the COVID alibi to take power and control and to mandate vaccinations and to take away your ability to find a job or have a job or go to school or travel unless they said so.
And it was based on faulty science, right?
And they tried to shut down, anyone who said anything otherwise. And so just made my frustrations with this state go on to steroids. And David, I just felt compelled to run for the state representative when I looked at the General Assembly and saw there was not one physician, not one nurse that was in the General Assembly speaking to the health issues in a public health emergency. And I just felt really compelled. And then I think, my wife and I prayed about it. I've been married for almost 34 years this year. And we have five children, the last of whom we adopted. And we are very pro-life. My wife works for a pregnancy center. She was the director. Now she has another role, but she's given her time. And we've given our lives to the pro-life cause and adoption and pregnancy center ministries. And I'm a member of Cornerstone Baptist Church, and which my brother founded and was the founding pastor and now is retired.
Wow, cool.
Yes, in Morton. So I'm a state representative. I won my election with the help of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. I am in my second term. I speak on a lot of healthcare related issues, and there's many.
Yes, you
know, we just had the physician assisted suicide. So
I tell you how much I appreciate your voice on the floor when you're being attacked, or Republicans or the caucus over on that side of the aisle is being attacked. You are a voice of reason, and you don't respond in kind, you know what I'm saying, in vitriol, but with reason. And it's so refreshing.
Yep.
By the way, if people don't know, a useless tidbit of information, Morton is the pumpkin capital of the world.
Thank you. I'm contractually obligated to mention that. If I use
Aaron
Morton, I have to follow it with the pumpkin capital of the world. We're very proud of it.
If you want to see pumpkin patches, go down to Morton, Illinois in the fall.
Yep.
Yep. I asked you on the podcast today because you introduced the bill, House Bill 4482,
yes.
Which addresses a very serious issue of transgender treatments, medical treatments, surgeries for people who think they need to change their gender. This is targeted to ban the minor surgeries, right? Can you tell me a little bit about your thinking on this? I mean, Illinois is following a lot of other states, thanks to you, who have already done this.
Yes. So I've been astonished as a physician that the profession that says first do no harm is involved in transitioning children who can't give consent, who are unable to understand the implications of changing their body in such a permanent way. It's grieved me for a long time, but I've only now had the chance to really make an impact on the state level and the national level, even in my town. David, we had a year ago, right around this time, a transgender physician activist running for the Morton School Board. And so I was very active in raising awareness and making sure that we had a conservative thinking school board in Morton, Illinois, which is a very conservative town and a very conservative county. And, you know, downstate Illinois is mostly conservative. So, you know, that's what really, you know, started. I've been speaking out against it. But then to have it in my own hometown, they try to insert themselves into the school district, our school district. And so that really motivated me to become more active. And then I've been speaking out against it in medicine at the Illinois Society of Illinois State Medical Society annual meetings. I've been speaking out against it, and I've written articles against it. I am so disappointed in the profession of medicine that we participated. I think it will be the biggest stain on medicine since lobotomies. What we see in medicine is what we're seeing all over the country, whether it be in industry, in tech, in academia, in legal affairs. Now we're seeing it in medicine, which is usually a pretty conservative industry or the healthcare sector. And now we see physicians who have been indoctrinated in our schools and our colleges and have gone through medical school, and they are social justice warriors. They are DEI advocates. They are they are so pro-choice. They're just pro-abortion. They're not just pro-choice. They're pro-abortion. And now we see them as they're pro-trans children advocates and activists. And they're physicians second. They're activists first.
Arkansas, Florida, Alabama, and Missouri have enacted bans like this that you're proposing.
Tennessee and others. Tennessee kind of led the way.
They had a lawsuit that and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. That's right. But it's interesting because I just wrote an article about this, about your bill.
Yeah.
And I included Northwest Memorial, Lurie's Children's Hospital, University of Illinois Health, University of Chicago Medicine, Rush University Medical Center have all paused.
Yeah.
Paused. Okay. They're not saying they're stopping it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking because of what the Trump administration is doing, right?
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, that's another thing. Just follow the money. A large amount of their Medicare income would be threatened by HHS and DHS. They were very worried about this, the money being cut off. They have all stopped or paused their gender transition procedures at those major hospitals. That's been one leg of what's been happening. There's been a real sea change in the transgender issue in medicine.
Speaking of how our medicine has been aligned with more wokeness, right?
Yeah.
We also now have a state legislature, and you spoke out about this, who decided they're no longer going to align with FDA protocols and policies, but now they're going to follow the World Health Organization's policies. This is nuts in my book.
So here we were during COVID, and you had to follow the CDC. You had to follow whatever the guidelines came out of HHS. And you absolutely you were deplatformed, canceled. You were prosecuted. Your business was locked down. If you did not follow the guidelines from the FDA, and we raised concerns about even the Department of Public Health in Illinois was absolutely atrocious and during COVID, and their and we spent way too long locked down. Illinois was one of the longest lockdown states. You know, go from that to now there's a new administration, and it's all that they are trying to show that they're anti-Trump, and they're trying to show their base and virtue signal to their base that they are fighting everything that Trump says. If Trump had a cure for cancer, if Secretary Kennedy announced a cure for cancer, they would come out against it immediately. They are all that they have Trump derangement syndrome. And so this is now that there's been some mild changes in the vaccination recommendations. I don't agree with them all. I don't agree with Tylenol ruling that and linking to autism. I don't agree with that. I would say that I'm would continue to follow the recommendations that are out there that were out there previously. But to have Secretary Kennedy and HHS say there's a few vaccinations that we no longer recommend mandated, but we recommend that you just discuss it with your healthcare provider. And so that to me is very much patient-centered, parent-controlled. And anyway, you always made the decision on what vaccinations you wanted your child to get.
That's right.
So it was a very mild change in recommendations, but they have to show that they're opposing Trump in every way. And so what are they going to do now? They're going to follow the WHO, which is absolutely ludicrous. It's a slap in the face of the scientists and doctors at FDA, at the HHS, that are long time, and it's basically anti-scientific. The WHO, the World Health Organization, controlled by Communist China, is going to be the Illinois standard of drug safety, of vaccination recommendations. It's absolutely ludicrous, and it's another example of them having Trump derangement syndrome that they can't even consider how awful that would be to put our health in the hands of Communist China.
Well, now let's connect that to this other bill, House Bill 4596, introduced by State Representative Dave Vella from the Rockford area. He's an attorney who wants to create the Health Misinformation Act and create response units. So, Bill, will they be looking at WHO for guidance and then turning around and applying that with their response unit here in Illinois?
Could be. I mean, we don't know. This is exactly what they did with pregnancy centers a year or so ago, where they said, we're going to decide what is misinformation coming out of pregnancy centers. And the attorney general is going to decide what that misinformation is. And we're not going to tell you. But if you violate that, then we're going to fine you up to $50,000 and absolutely chill the speech of pregnancy centers, because we were, you know, the government said that this information that you're giving out is misinformation. But it wasn't their information. We're going to see here is we don't know. So are you going to say that the abortion reversal pill is not approved, and so that's misinformation? So you're going to be prosecuted under the Consumer Protection Act by the Attorney General? Are you going to say, if you say that transgender medicine has little strong evidence and should only be for those adults who can give consent, now you're going to be prosecuted for that opinion? We know that during COVID, if you said anything against the vaccination or you said anything about against Fauci or something like that, you could be shut down.
Or ivermectin.
Oh, yeah. So that could be considered misinformation. They're not going to tell you what that is, but we're going to look at what you're saying. And if you're online, you're organized in a way that we think that you're purveying misinformation, not our information. We're going to send out our trusted messengers. This is what they said, David. Trusted messengers. For our misinformation response units that will be dispatched to your place of business or your conceivably your home, and said that your purveyors of misinformation, we're going to prosecute.
They're going to police our social media, and they're coming in. We're here from the government, and we're here to correct you.
Yes. Yep. Science and medicine, information is so fluid. There's very little that's not under some question or some study. Information that what is fact and what is recommended by us changes all the time. You're going to chill this free speech. It's absolutely unconstitutional. I have no doubt in my mind it's unconstitutional. They know that we know that. We know that they know that. They know that we know that they know that. And we play this game. And David, the process is the punishment. the process of the punishment in Illinois. And this is what they do. We see this all the time. They don't care that it's unconstitutional. They can run their campaigns on it. Look what I did to their base and show that they're doing something. It's not their money. It's not their time to defend this in court. If it goes to the Supreme Court, that's maybe a couple years away. And in the meantime, they can campaign on it. And they can say, look, I passed this bill to stop this dangerous misinformation.
Well, I got to wonder if the ACLU will oppose this bill. I mean, it's so blatantly unconstitutional, yeah. A violation of free speech.
Well, look what Kwame Raoul, who is a very poor indicator if something is constitutional, assured everybody that the pregnancy center bill was constitutional. Absolutely. Oh, and we told them, there's no way this is constitutional. This is a total waste of our time. Waste of our right. money, waste of Illinois' time. And 2 weeks after it passed, the judge said, this is stupid and blatantly unconstitutional.
Right.
And Kwame Raoul, Attorney General Raoul,
right.
said was, yeah, he kind of agreed with him. After telling everybody that it was constitutional, he didn't even defend the bill at all.
I don't know if your bill is going to get a hearing. Yeah,
there's no way, but it will raise awareness. And it is a shot across the bow. In Illinois, to Illinois Medicine, to Illinois State Medical Society, to look at this and say, two major medical societies have said this has little evidence. The AMA and the American Society of Plastic Surgeons have said these surgeries should be delayed until adulthood.
As we end this podcast, we have two bills. We have Representative Howder's bill, House Bill 4482. You need to call your state representative and say, I support that bill. And then you have Representative DeVella's bill, HB 4596. And you need to call and say, same time, you can even one call, I support 4482. I oppose 4596.
Please do.
And our state lawmakers need to hear from their constituents, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. That's so important. Yeah. I mean, look at the homeschooler bill.
Yes, right.
I mean, that was totally stopped by people, constituents calling in, getting activated, and showing up. And so something like this, it can be really important for people to actually get involved.
How many calls does it take to get your attention on a bill if you're getting calls to your office?
Well, not much, because, you know, especially in your district, it's calls from and letters and emails from your district. That's really important.
So if you get a dozen calls, you're saying, uh-oh, what's going on here?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Emails, we get a lot of emails, and I always look at where it's from because it's really important for me to respond to people in my district.
Yeah, you don't need to respond to somebody in Colorado, right?
Yeah, all right. And we get those.
Hey, I know you do. I know you do. Well, listen, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing at the hospital. Thank you for your pro-life activism over the years. Thank you for spending time with us today. God bless
you,
sir.
It's totally my pleasure. And anytime, I just thank you guys for what you guys do. The Illinois Family Action is just so important for us. And look at your stuff all the time.
Read
your newsletter. It's really good. And the people of faith, the faith community, Lincoln said, right makes might. And yes. We're right. And so we're mighty. We may be in the super minority, but we are mighty because we're right.
Well, and that reminds me, you know, the primary is coming up on March 17th. If people of faith do not come out and vote their values, that vacuum will be filled with people who don't hold our value. God bless you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
The Congressional Budget Office recently released a shocking report on the state of our nation's current fertility crisis. In 2024, the CBO expected the number of American deaths to overtake the number of births by the year 2040. They expect now the U.S. population to reach this point as early as 2030. These projections are unsurprising since the current fertility rate is 1.6, which is well below the 2.1 replacement rate, and is projected to go down to 1.58 in 2026. Falling fertility rates are the direct result of a culture that no longer has a biblical worldview on the sanctity of life and the importance of family. Too many Christians are choosing to forego marriage and children, even though the Bible is clear about the blessings of both. We not only need to recognize the good of family formation, but we need to teach it to our children and grandchildren. Go to illinoisfamily.org to learn more. illinoisfamily.org.
Need somewhere to belong? Try here. We're socialites. Find us at socialites.blog. We aim to cultivate meaningful friendships and create places for people to come together face to face.
We do weekly group, Bible study groups, swing dancing. We even do bonfires on occasion.
We also connect churches via their YA groups in the Chicagoland area.
We want to be the answer to the question of, where do you even meet people anymore? Come find us at socialites.blog. Check out some of the events we got going or any of the groups that we host regularly.
Socialites.blog.
All right, so welcome back to the second half of our podcast today. I am thrilled to be joined now by State Senator Andrew Chesney, who is from the Freeport area of our state, the very tip or west side, the northwest corner of our state of Illinois, which includes Freeport and Galena and Elizabeth and is it Midgeville? Yeah, it's all
Milledgeville. There's a Milledgeville.
Milledgeville. See, I got it wrong. Forgive me up there. It's decent-sized towns, and then it's got a lot of farmland. Senator Chesney has been in the General Assembly since 2018. He served 5 years in the House, and then he's on his fourth year in the Illinois Senate. He is a member of the Freedom Caucus, which he's the only state senator who is on the Freedom Caucus. Senator Chesney, welcome, and I'd like to ask you to tell us a little bit more about yourself, your background, and why it's important that you're serving in Springfield.
Well, I appreciate it, David, and thank you for having me on. Like a lot of people that get involved in both local and state politics, you try to get in and make a difference. And in my particular case, some of the greatest impediments that people have in their life is government interference. If it's not your business, if it's not your personal life, it's not the way you educate your kid. Everybody has something that rubs them either the right way or the wrong way. And I got involved locally as an alderman, and then of course as a state representative, and now a state senator. And you know, I've really just wanted to ensure that my district knows one thing, that what I tell them in the district is how I act in Springfield. You know, you see it all the time, David, you've done this a long time. You know, people talk a good talk in their first campaign, and then once they get down there a few years, all of a sudden they start to gravitate towards the Springfield swamp. And so, so I've really just tried to run on authenticity, truthfulness, passion. You know, you can't go down there and just play nice. You have to go down there and advocate and fight. And I think that, you know, to the extent that you can win, we've tried to win. To the extent that we can fight, we certainly have fought. And the Freedom Caucus has been front and center in that fight. And I look forward to continuing 2026. So I'm married to my beautiful wife, Kelly. I've got one adult child named Nicholas. And I come from a small business background. And taxes are too high. And liberal policies are destroying the state.
That's right. That's right. But speaking of fighting, you have introduced Senate Bill 3842, which is would amend the Illinois Mental Health and Developmental Disability Code to modify the statutory definition of mental illness to include transgenderism. Tell us a little bit about it and what you're seeing and why you thought it was important to introduce this bill at this time.
Most people know there are two genders unless you talk to Democrat politicians. Then they want to think it's on a spectrum or it's fluid. And we've seen this, you know, tampons in boy bathrooms. You see this when they start to take the word birth mother out and replace it with birth person. They've used this language to create confusion in our communities. And part of this confusion has led to trans individuals or people that believe they're of a different sex. And it's my belief, David, that we need to get these folks help and that something else is going on. And so I bring this legislation with a loving heart. I recognize that some people have some things going on. And if a 15-year-old feels a biological male feels like a female, the Democrats want to give him a scalpel, and I want to get this person some treatment.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want to get them the resources to get some help that they need. And
and
that's the only purpose of the bill. It's nothing more than that. We just want to get people help.
Amen. That's good. You know, and it's not loving to affirm gender confusion, right? It's loving to get them help, as you're saying. Do you expect some pushback in Springfield?
Oh, lots of pushback. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if the Democrats are good at one thing, they create a lot of chaos in communities, right? And, yes. You know, they put abortion clinics in vulnerable areas primarily, right? They push woke ideology that destroys the nuclear family.
Yep.
They create a educational environment that doesn't educate their kids properly. So less than 50% of the kids in most of these public schools can read and write.
Right.
And now they want to hand life altering chemicals to these young and vulnerable individuals that will forever destroy their lives.
That's right.
And in any normal society, the people that hand those people those chemicals should be put in jail, which would be the doctors and maybe even some of the politicians. But they are not only affirming this destruction, but embracing it and almost encouraging it, which is why you've seen those that identify as trans skyrocket because of nutball politicians that are promoting this whack ideology. So we come from a loving heart. We want people to get help. We spend billions of dollars, David, on mental illness, and we want to get to these kids and young adults.
Amen. Amen. So this is Senate Bill 3842. If you're not in Senator Chesney's district, you may want to call your state senator and let him or her know. And by the way, there's no middle ground there. Him or her know that you want them to co-sponsor Senate Bill 3842. And I bet your introduction of Senate Bill 3920 is along the same lines of thinking. This would prohibit gender transition medical interventions for minor children and establishes professional penalties. Tell me about this bill. This is no more transgender treatments for kids under the age of, I think it's 18 or 19.
We don't want doctors and administrators profiting off of the destruction of a young child, right?
No.
And this is a big business, David. A lot of these administrators and doctors are making big money off of this.
Big pharma.
Big pharma's making big money off of this, and it's creating chaos in communities, and it's confusing these kids and these most vulnerable people. It's just remarkable to me that these kids cannot make a decision to get a tattoo, but can make the decision to remove their private parts and just remove some
healthy
of the most
body parts, right?
Healthy body parts. Yeah. They can remove their healthy body parts all in the name of this gender confusion and this gender dysphoria. So it's my viewpoint, David, that we have to start looking at the doctors and really these big health hospital networks that are pushing this ridiculous ideology. Now, we have seen since President Trump has gotten into office, we have seen that some of these programs suspended because of the fear of losing funding. But let's call it what it is. You know this. Dave, you've done this a long time, right? There's a lot of people profiting from this. This is big business for these folks.
Could you imagine if it was President Kamala Harris, how this agenda would be going forward? It would be terrible. I wrote an article about this. Northwest Memorial Hospital in Chicago, Lurie's Children's Hospital, University of Illinois Health, University of Chicago Medicine, Rush University Medical Center, they have all paused their transgender treatments. I suppose it'll be paused until a new administration comes in, and hopefully it'll be a Republican one, so it'll continue. By the way, I would like to get your feedback on this. There has been a lawsuit settlement in the tunes of, I think, $2 million for a young woman who went through transgender treatments and surgery, and now that she's adult, regrets it and is suing her doctors and those advisors. And won a $2 million settlement for the harm that they did. She felt like she was coerced, manipulated into it. What do you think? I mean, this could be the start of a lot of settlements and lawsuits going forward.
Well, and I think that that's in part why you've seen some of the pauses when these juries are awarding these massive verdicts. Remember, these hospitals and these administrators and doctors, this becomes a business. And so I think these juries are correctly awarding these massive sums of money for these children that were coerced into these awful life-altering transition-type surgeries. And they, of course, as they become adults, have great regret. It's just sad. It's sad that we've come to this place that you have Democrat politicians in this state and throughout the country that are trying to advance the agenda of mutilating young kids' body parts, healthy body parts in society for profit, and that they believe this is healthcare. It's just sickening. Just sickening.
I have a quick story to tell you, Senator. Back in 2013, when we were fighting the marriage battle in Springfield, I brought down a friend of mine, Linda Jernigan. She was gay for 19 years, and then she gave herself to the Lord. I brought her down, and we met with, I kid you not, like 50 different state lawmakers. The vast majority of them had never heard of an ex-gay. Never heard of it. I remember one lawmaker doing a triple take when I said, Representative, this is Linda Jernigan, my friend. She's an ex-gay. And he's like, what? He couldn't believe it. Of course, the media is not going to platform these people. They're not going to highlight these stories. And now, today, fast forward to the transgender issue, we have literally more than dozens, if not hundreds, of detransitioners, people who thought they were going to change, you know, their gender, but now have come back and say, nope, that was just a phase. What's your thought about that?
You know, the Democrats have a long tradition of doing great harm, you know, from their views on abortion to ripping apart the nuclear family. The trans issue is no different than the other two. This is a continuation of just toxic and very detrimental policies that take the nuclear family and attempt to destroy it, but ultimately cause great harm to the most vulnerable people in our society. They prey on these young kids, and they try to get a hold of them. They do this through the indoctrination of our government educational system. And now they want to convince them that it's okay to give your pronouns at the age of 15. Here's a thought, David. Why don't we get back to reading, writing, and arithmetic and stop worrying about their darn pronouns,
amen,
right?
That's right. That's right. Amen to that. So do you think it would be helpful to bring some detransitioners down to Springfield to meet with some of your Democratic colleagues? Maybe it would be eye-opening. Maybe it'll be convicting. I don't know.
I think it would actually be good for everybody. You know, we should have 18 other co-sponsors of my mental illness bill, and this should be widely popular. And this is an 80-20 issue, 90-10. You ask society if a 15-year-old child should be able to remove healthy body parts. They say absolutely not, right? I think it would be great to bring some detransition folks down to Springfield just to offer testimony of what they went through, the type of pressure that they felt, both within their school system, perhaps in their home, but also by the medical community that pushes this garbage, right? And so it would be fantastic, because this is an area, this is a 90-10, 80-20 issue. If it's not downstate and suburban Chicago, we can win on this issue everywhere.
Well, maybe I'll try to get that done this year, this spring. Is there any other thing that you'd like to bring to the attention of our listening audience while you're starting this new session here?
Well, you know, conservatives, we're going to bring it to them as we do every year. We certainly ask for you to keep us in your thoughts and your prayers, you know, and ask us to, you know, and pray for us to guide us to good decisions and to fight the chaos that we experience in this state, because it's going to be a big battle this year. We have a very ambitious governor who's going to run for president in 2028. We've seen some of the most destructive policies in the state of Illinois that we've ever seen. And you're going to see a continuation of that. So we ask for your prayer, but we also ask for you to certainly offer your words of encouragement, because, you know, we have some people down there, David, that get a little mushy, even Republicans. And sometimes they wonder if the abnormal is normal, and it's not, right? And so they need to remember that the Democrats just believe them, because what comes out of their mouth is true, and they are as crazy as they sound. And so if we just remind our colleagues of that, we should have a good session.
So how important is it that our folks, Christians throughout the state of Illinois, get out to vote either before or on election day?
David, if Christians voted at 100%, the Democrats would be wiped out throughout
Amen.
This country.
Well, that's, if they voted that's their biblical that. Values, right?
Yeah. If every Christian, evangelical, and God-following Christian voted, the Democrats would not win an election anywhere in this country. So Amen. We just ask that you vote. We ask that you encourage your friends to vote. That's what we can ask for. And just participate in the process.
Perfect. Thank you, Senator, for your time. I really appreciate you. God bless you. And I hope these get at least a hearing. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Well, you're the best, Dave. We appreciate everything you do for Illinois Family Action. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.